Hello, my loves. Question, did you say any affirmations today? Do you have affirmations that you've had on repeat for a long time? How do you feel? How do you feel about affirmations? Because I've been pretty cranky and outspoken about my crankiness around affirmations for like a decade. I think said from the wrong place for the wrong reasons, or they can really lead us astray. I think they can create this schism in the psyche where you're lying to yourself and you know you are lying to yourself, and that is going to create a jam for manifesting what you want. So we're going to do, as I'm always saying on my team, we're going to do a chiropractic adjustment on our relationship to affirmations. I'm going to have to walk you through some metaphysical, philosophical terrain until we get to the diamond, till we get to the actual answer. But here's a time-sensitive thing I want to tell you about. If you are listening to this on the fresh day of dropping the podcast, it is Wednesday, February 22nd. That means tomorrow, Thursday, the 22nd, is the cart closing for Marie Forleo's B-School. For years, I was her numero uno top affiliate because the bonus that I offer for B-School for signing up through me is just super juice. I took off a few years because I focused on building our heart-centered leadership program. And now what we have in our ecosystem is a better match than ever with B-School. Case in point, I meet with a girlfriend last week for tea. She wants to become a digital nomad, taking her career to the next level. I'm like, sweetheart, why don't you just sign up for B-School? Because everything you need is there. It's the map. It's actually the map. So I've got a spiritual business mastery bundle that we are pairing up with B-School 2024. So the mastery bundle for me includes lifetime access to my heart-centered leadership program. What is a heart-centered leadership program? Well, you know what? It's a curriculum, so gorgeous, of coaching tools. It's workshop templates. It's retreat templates. You could be using these as conversation starters in leadership groups with your coaching clients. You can plug and play with this deep stuff we have created to support people to live heart-centered lives and to lead in heart-centered ways. You also will be getting a year in the heart-centered mastermind. So that is our way of supporting business leaders. You get a meeting with me a month. And in addition to that, with my Team D leadership, we're talking about everything from marketing and algorithms to how to be a more engaged listener. And also in the Spiritual Mastery Bundle, you get 1 year of the heart-centered membership. So that's two classes with me a month, giving you mind, body, spirit support and access to all of my mantras, my playlists, my meditations, all the things. If you're really excited and you want to check it out now because the card is closing tomorrow, go to daniellelaporte.com/B-School. If you stay with me in a few more seconds here, I'll give you the breakdown. So B-School is priced at $2,499 US, or you can do 12 monthly payments of $239 because Marie is super cool. So you go get B-School through my link, and then you get my $2,500 value spiritual business mastery program. So you're going to get the map on how to be a current, clear-thinking, contemporary online marketing wizard, digital entrepreneur. Marie zhuzhes the program, updates it every year, which is one of the reasons I respect her so deeply. And then you get the heart-centered, hand-holding, nurturing, philosophical community to back that up. It's pretty cool. DanielleLaporte.com/B-School. Cart closes tomorrow. Speaking of cool things, entrepreneurship and community, if you can get yourself to Vancouver on March 2nd, around the time of 12 noon to 6 p.m., I'm speaking at the Kid Carson and Friends event. Myself and Mark Groves are going to throw down on all things freedom, relationship, critical thinking. It's going to be good. Head to Kid Carson, that's KIDCARSON.com to get your tickets. I will hug you there. Let's talk about things we should affirm and things we should think twice about affirming. Let me give you the gold at the very beginning of this conversation. I'm going to give you 4 points. I'm also creating a love note out of these 4 points. So you can go download this or put it on your phone. Go to daniellelaporte.com/love notes. There's all these highlights, prayers, bullet points from all of my podcasts, accumulating list. All right, here we go. Number one, we create more of what we think we are. We create more of what we think we are. I'm going to unpack that. Number two, running from the pain creates more pain. Running from the pain creates more pain. Number three, identify as love and see everything with your heart. When you identify as love, you're going to see everything through your heart. It's going to change your life. Number four, we choose how to see. We actually choose how to see. We're going to use our free will to choose our perspective. Okay, so why am I giving you that in advance of a conversation about affirmations? Because until we get all of that on all the deep levels, then we should not be using affirmations. Okay, let's unpack it now. Here we go. So let's kick off with some Albert Einstein here. We will not solve the problems of the world from the same level of thinking we were at when we created them. Why would you say that, Albert? Because you create more of what you think you are. So how about seeing yourself as super consciousness? How about thinking of yourself as queen, as center of your mandala? How about thinking of yourself as love itself? How about perceiving yourself as the beloved? How about seeing yourself as seated next to the God source? How about identifying as your higher self, as a whole self? Because you will create more of that. You will create more love, more belovedness, more God guidance, more wholeness. Perceive yourself as consciousness. You will continue to become more conscious. Perceive of yourself as low vibe and dumb and not deserving. You're just going to get more of that. There's a Sanskrit term called citta or chitta, C-H-I-T-T-A, chitta. It means mind stuff. So that's what we're really interested in here. What's the quality of your mind stuff? Are you thinking negative thoughts about yourself? Are you thinking higher vibration thoughts about yourself? Because this is what happens. When we have emotions that all come from the lower self, essentially, the lower chakras, the emotional body, that watery nature. When we have those emotions like angst, fear is the really sticky one, anxiety that can tip over into neuroses or that kind of almost paranoid type mental activity, then that kind of sticky emotional stuff tends to consume us and we start to see ourselves as that. It's like we're full of anxiety. It's all we can see. We're swimming in it. We see ourselves as anxiety itself. We think that we are the emotion itself. We are that state. We think that we're the storm cloud instead of the sky. And one of the reasons that's really problematic is because obviously that's so limiting, right? We're so much more than our anxiety. We are love and we are tenderness and we're compassion. We are this atmosphere. There's so much in the ecosystem that we are. Even bigger than that, we are the environment itself. So we're not the different types of weather. We're the sky that is accommodating, that is the mother, the father, the parent of this different kind of emotional weather. When we think that we are just the mood, it makes it really hard to get out of the mood. It's hard to find your happy hammer. That doesn't quite sound right. What I meant to say was it's hard to find your happiness tools when you're thinking, I am just full of anger. I'm an angry person. It's hard to reach for solutions about abundance and prosperity when you identify as being in lack, identify as being unworthy. Okay, so all of that mind stuff, that chitta, is coming up to the surface to be loved, to be accepted, to be integrated. So we don't want to push away the storm. We don't want to push away the paranoia, the fear, the anxiety, all of that stuff, right? It's coming to the surface to come home, heart-centered. This is the work of becoming more conscious, okay? This is a process of acceptance. And acceptance plays a really important role in terms of making affirmations and declarations. So let's go on a quick little side street here and talk about acceptance. I'm talking about acceptance as a virtue, as a quality of the soul. So acceptance is a willingness, like almost like a devotion to clearly see and receive things as they are. Like whatever's going on, you're going to face it. Acceptance is almost like a spiritual practice of looking to find the beauty in things as they are. By the way, I think acceptance is one of the most, I'm going to use a big, gorgeous, juicy word. Acceptance is like the most effulgent, full, lush qualities of the divine feminine. This is what the divine mother does. She clearly sees people, human situations, things as they are and loves them as is. Yeah, acceptance is so unconditional, so inclusive. So what is acceptance not? Let's just go down another alley here. That means that acceptance is not, I accept this if this works for me, then I'm accepting of it. If this is on my terms, then I'm all in. If this is the easy way, then I'm a yes. Acceptance as a virtue is not saying, if this happens and I get this, then I will be in total divine acceptance. I mean, what that is just kind of pseudo bullshit, lowercase acceptance. Really, that's emotional manipulation. That's where we turn virtues into vices. Really, really, what's underneath that is this kind of push-pull polarity of I want this, but I push that away. It's like that dynamic of attraction and aversion. It's really the energy of willfulness, right? Pushing against the shadow side of willfulness. Pushing against what is. Pushing to get what we desire. And you can really, if you tune into it right now, you can kind of feel yourself in times in your life, and maybe it's today, where you've had that energy of, if I get my way, then I'm all in. I'm going to shift this, twist this, make these requests, these demands to get what I want, and then I accept. The willfulness, right? Can you find willfulness in your thinking? And then can you find it in your body? You probably will feel it in your solar plexus. So if you take your right hand, and you put it just at the bottom of your rib cage, sort of right at the top of your belly. That's the third chakra, solar plexus, will. And that's where the skewed version of acceptance lives. That's where domineering and power tripping lives. Okay, so I'm going to do a few reviews here. So, okay, let me take a step back. So we've got the mind stuff. We want to be having high quality, loving mind content, and we want to identify as that. We want to be moving into embodying acceptance, like I meet what's here with love, and we will go from there. My soul will tell me which direction to go in. Okay, now I want to run you through a scenario. By the way, you might hear a lot of geese right now. Do you know that I sit in my apartment with my telephone and make this podcast for you so you hear the sounds of life in the West End of Vancouver. Okay, here's a scenario. The shit hits the fan, the goose shit in this case. So let's say anxiety has crept up for you or there's some kind of full-blown fear. You're feeling really gripped by it. Maybe there's some kind of emotional meltdown. So something's happening, body, mind, emotional continuum. It's a big wobble, okay? So traditional psychology would tell us that we are going to affirm with positive words in a repetitive way. We're going to counter all of this citta. We're going to essentially not accept the mind stuff. And we're going to take it in an opposite direction. So we're going to say things like, I am safe, I'm safe, I'm safe. I am fearless. I am wealthy. And that's the prescription for getting out of fear. That is supposed to be a higher mindset. And I'm going to tell you, I think that is really problematic. I think what's happening is that we are just using those Psych 101 affirmations to mask what actually needs to be seen. Okay, here's the visual metaphor. I want you to think of your negative emotions like popcorn kernels. Okay, so the anger, the fear, whatever it is, popcorn kernels. And then the affirmations that we could be saying, which I really believe are a form of denial in many cases, the affirmations are like liquid asphalt. So the kernels are trying to pop up to the surface. We've got all this mind substance, all these old patterns creeping up. They want to rise. They want to crack. They want to be released. All that shadow wants to come up to the light. Pop, pop, pop. See me. Released. Feel better. More whole. More aware. More conscious. Okay. Then we take these scripts of affirming, I'm fearless, I'm safe, I'm whatever, without looking at those popcorn kernels. And we just pour that asphalt over all of those unpopped emotional kernels. We pave over the pain inside. And what happens when pain gets repressed or suppressed? It begins to fester. There's inflammation. It wants to fight harder to be seen. It will get louder, more agitating, more annoying. Our default stress response will definitely move closer to fight or flight. Let me say it in another way. The painful mind states, those emotional kernels, they just go deeper and deeper into the dark. They settle in. It's like they have tentacles on them. The husk of the kernel settles into our subconscious mind. The pain becomes harder to get to, more unconscious. And here we are with all the affirmations, when really we are just running from the pain and making it way worse. All right, so you got that visual. You got your painful kernels. And they're under all of these hardened asphalt layers, also known as denial. And then, you know, we're going through life kind of in the dark, unconscious. And then circumstances are going to happen because the soul is going to deliver us some kind of jackhammer challenges to help crack that asphalt so the pain can be released and we can become more enlightened. So the kernels get heated up. Life circumstances, challenges, triggers, and these little explosions start happening. The repressed things start to pop. And sometimes that stuff gets met with love and embraced. That's what we're here for, a heart-centered approach to healing. Usually there's some more running from the pain. So the pain's going to have to bang harder. We're going to need more dynamite from all directions to crack through years of workshops that just taught us how to coat over everything instead of just hold it with love. You get more anxiety, you get more fear. And, you know, it's like that quote from Charlie Brown, my anxieties have anxieties. So underneath the surface of the tarmac, the individual emotions are starting to populate. It's fear on top of fear. It's fear about the fear. It's fear about what you have covered over with the asphalt. So when they come up to be released, the effect is definitely heavier, more intense, and it can seem way scarier. And of course it's scary. I mean, we get more afraid of the things that we are running from if we don't stop running to turn around and look at them. See, they're actually not that scary at all. It's not something from the outside that we're running from. It's something within us that we created, that we are the parent of. Just stop, accept with a capital, accept, identify as the healer instead of the wound. And then we begin to think more highly of ourselves, and that will completely shift the quality of our affirming. So like maybe a good visual here just occurred to me is instead of seeing ourselves as the asphalt layers, as in who are the guy, what do you call the construction guys who are pouring the asphalt? Anyway, instead of seeing ourselves as pouring the asphalt over our pain, we're seeing ourselves as gardeners. It's like the soil is fecund and fertile. We want to dig. We want to water. We want to penetrate the surface. We want to nurture. We see ourselves as the creative with a capital C instead of an industrious denier. So you can see how we go from that dense, heavy energy to a more refined vibration and how much relief is going to be in there. So here's some contrast to consider. Do you see yourself as competent or incompetent? Do you think you're unlucky, or do you know that you're blessed? Would you call yourself kind of bitchy or actually very discerning? Are you late to the game? Or baby, you just always on time? You broken or are you beautiful? If we see ourselves as in pain all of the time, that mind stuff, we are going to create more pain. If we can see ourselves as creativity, as blessed, as competent, as supported, as beautiful, as loving, as the virtue of acceptance, we will be creating more of that. Because, you know, when we're in that over-identification mode, just like, I'm suffering, I'm a person who suffers, I create more suffering, I have so much suffering in my life, we are going to get some feel-good moments. If we are on the spiritual path, we're going to go to the workshop, we're going to listen to the podcast, we're going to hear that one thing, and we're going to feel some relief. We're going to say, ah, I am connected. I have been blessed. Something higher has been guiding me. I have these moments of genius, of strength, of clarity. I have so many great friends. Those are all legit moments, but they are very temporary, feel-good moments. They're few and far between. I mean, really, they're just cracks in the pavement of denial. And what are we denying? We're denying that we have the capacity to heal, that all of our gnarly emotions are not going to take us down. You know what we become? We become popcorn makers. We become leaders of our lives that are like mandalas, facets of light and lessons and generosity and challenges, but we see ourselves in control, divinely guided, but with all of our faculties. We see ourselves at the center of our lives, not on the periphery of our lives. And that is, it's a relief. It's a relief. But that's a heart-centered life. And we start to figure out that beyond the polarity of I'm happy, I'm sad, and I should repress my sadness. I have what I want. I don't have what I want. I should asphalt pave over my grief. Beyond all of that, there's so much joy. There is that space where you become way less triggerable. You are not living habitually. You are claiming and naming and owning your emotions. You are integrating them into your heart, and you are feet on soil. It's like you're earthing in your own life. So you own your darkness. You own your darkness, and you realize how bright you are, how luminous you are. And then you can use affirmations. That's the whole point. So let me boil it down to some questions. Who's doing the affirming? Is it your wounded self or your healed self? Is it your mother who's come up with affirmations for you? Is it a guru that you think has more power than you? Is it your wholeness? Is it your faith? Is it your trust? Is it the part of you that's brave enough, strong enough, courageous enough, wise enough to ask for support so that you don't run from anything self that's doing the affirming? Really, that's all I wanted to ask you. Is it your banal self, your everyday self, the small part of you that identifies as being small, who is saying, I am thin, I am wealthy, I have all that I need, the love that I want is coming to me? Or is it your sacred self, your higher self, the part of you that knows that you are interconnected with everything, including universal wisdom, who is saying, I am thin, I am healthy, I am wise, I am supported and beautiful and loved, and all I need comes to me? Is the affirmation from stability or insecurity? Who's doing the talking? Now, my suggestion would be to not go down the path of affirmations until you get clear on that. Identify as powerful. Identify as loving. Identify as creative. Identify as resilience, and then you will be able to accept everything as is. And then you're working with reality. You are firing on all cylinders. You are clear on what the higher desire is. You have full faith that you will be backed up and supported. You will use your willfulness on behalf of love and goodwill for yourself and others. And you know what that is? That's life affirming. You say what your soul needs to say. Okay, this is what my soul needs to say to you right now. I'm so glad you're here. I don't take any listen, click, subscribe, forward, comment, anytime for granted. Think highly of yourself. Love on your pain. It will turn into power. And then you use that power to see the beauty in everything, and you'll get more beauty. And then you just affirm your ass right off. I will see you here next Wednesday. With love, Danielle. Thank you so much for listening, for feeling, for spreading the word. With love.